All right, good morning, everyone. Good morning. I hope you guys are doing well. And if you are a first-time visitor in here or you are a guest just visiting, we're glad you guys are here. I want to welcome you guys. And so before we get started, if you can, turn to Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, and that's where we're going to be at today, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 25 through 34. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. And I hope you guys have your Bibles in front of you. If you have your phones, do steer away from that temptation to kind of switch over, double-click that home button and switch over to another app or whatnot. But do keep your eyes in this word as we go through it this morning. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 26 through 34, I'm going to read it and I'm going to pray for myself and for you. And so it says in verse 25, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, and they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" Verse 28. "And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Verse 34. "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let me pray for us. Oh God, that you... in your word, there is just a deep well of wisdom that we can draw from. There's words that can just get into our hearts and change us. And so, God, I pray as we get into your word that we would draw from this your wisdom, that we would hear it, that we would find peace and comfort in this, especially in this time, especially when there's all these this kind of turmoil around us, when the job market is kind of crazy, or especially when so many in our church have lost jobs or are kind of panicking. So I pray for us here that as we look into your word, we will find rest. That we will find peace in you and what you are doing, and not in our own works, and not in our own power, and not by anything that we can do. But in this moment, I pray for change. I pray for comfort. I pray for your word to be heard, for your word to take root in our hearts today. Jesus, in your name, we pray. Amen. So if you missed us last week, we are going through a new series, a little mini-series about work. And Pastor Wei started off talking about how God values hard work, right? And God, he talked about how God made us to work, and he desires us to work. And he, you know, when he set Adam and Eve in a garden, he told Adam, "Hey, work the ground." And work is something we'll be doing later on in the future when Jesus comes down and gives us this new heaven and new earth. And so work is something God-given. And we were encouraged to persevere and work unto God last week. And so on the one hand, we have, you know, this Pastor Wei's message was more so kind of going towards the ones who maybe were kind of stagnant in their life, who were getting lazy, or maybe they did minimal to no work at all, right? And he kind of talked to those who were couch potatoes, right? Remember the pillow with the baked potato chips? And so you kind of want, on one hand, he was going after the ones who, hey, work. We have to work. We have to be diligent in our work. Persevere in work. And find value in our work because God values your work. And so he was going after those. But so on the one hand, that's one thing he was going after. But so today, what we want to talk about is we kind of go the opposite way with work. When we last week goes about no value in work, but then on the other spectrum is when we put too much value or significance in work, right? And so there's some of us in here, like the couch potato was not you. You're just the workaholic. You're in here, you're working all the time, and work becomes ultimate, and what you can achieve from work becomes ultimate. And work is something we give too much significance to. And so, and when I say work again, I don't want to just mean those who are working jobs, but also it's something for you students too, right? Because it's about what we can achieve and what we can receive from our schoolwork, from what we can receive from what, at the end of the day. And so so that's kind of where we're going today. We're going to look at this side where we put too much value, too much significance to work. And if anything, it's all about, what happens when we put too much significance in it, and when we try to receive and so much from our work. And so and in this passage, Matthew begins to talk about this, and that talks about anxiety. And I think this is one of the ways that it shows up when we begin to put too much value and significance into our work, because we become anxious. And so that's kind of where we're going. We're going to kind of talk about anxiety. What does it look like to be anxious? And so where we're going is, where we're going today with today's sermon is, we're going to look at what is anxiety, and then we're going to look at how does that play out? Well, how does anxiety play out, or what is the root of that anxiety? What does it look like? And the last thing we're going to look at is, what do we do with that? What do we do with when we do have this anxiety? When we do see the root problem in our lives. And so let's look at this in Matthew chapter 6, if you look at it again. So I want to start with us. And so if you look at verse 25, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." And so what I want to stop right there. What does it mean to be anxious? What does it look like? And so if in this passage of Matthew, the people Jesus was talking to, that he was talking to, mainly, they had a legitimate concern on how to get food or clothes, right? Jesus' audience really had a hard time getting clothes and getting food for the next day. And so kind of, I had to read up and do a little search on this. In one of the commentaries that I've read, they kind of explained the situation of the community or like what they lived in. And so this is how this commentary described Matthew's audience. And they would live in these little cubicles. And if anything, if you've seen those pictures of of the slums, that's kind of what it looked like, right? And so their homes kind of looked like, were described as smoky and dark and often damp and always dirty. And this is our community, right? The community was the smell of sweat, urine, and feces and decay permeated everything, right? Outside on the streets was a little better. Mud, open sewers, manure, and crowds. In fact, human corpses, adults and infants, were kind of all on the streets, and they were kind of pushed aside and abandoned. And so this is kind of the area that Jesus' audience lived in. Right? And so much of their daily routine was trying to get food. Much of their daily routine was trying to go, and like, how do I get food today? How am I going to get food today? And just trying to get enough food for the day. And that's kind of the routine that these people were in. And they were trying to get these things. They're trying to get, and they were just You know, if you think about it, I mean, a lot of times in biblical times, there was a lot of famine going on, and there was a lot of droughts and whatnot. And so this is kind of the situation that Matthew's or Jesus' audience were in. Right? They had day every day they were going, getting enough food just for that day. And so every day they would look at it and think, how am I going to get by this day? How am I going to get by? How am I going to get enough to get by? And we see that everywhere else, right? We see that in this world. And I do remember going to Kenya and driving by the slums. I remember going and just driving around Nairobi, and then there was the slums right there. It was just these small little huts, and they were so close to each other, and it was so crowded. I mean, it was just a mess over there. And that's just the picture I got. Or even when I went to Reynosa, Mexico, and I remember we drove into this dump site, and for some reason I started seeing little kids running around. And I'm like, why are little kids running around in this dump site? And come to find out, they live in this dump site. They live where everyone would bring their trash to. And I feel like this is what was happening in this story of Matthew. And this is Jesus' audience. They didn't have refrigerators or, you know, they didn't have a little storage compartment where they could put all their vegetables. And they didn't have a Ranch 99 to go to buy vegetables for the week. And so they had this anxiety to them to go, man, what am I going to do? Where is my food going to come from? What food am I going to get? How am I going to pay for this? And every day they had that. And I'm sure most of us had our bouts with anxiety. I'm sure most of us had some sort of bouts with worry and whatnot. And so, you know, what does it look like? What does it mean to be anxious in our lives? I know maybe many of you, or maybe some of you had sleepless nights. Maybe some of you had sleepless nights just recently. Maybe because you had a problem and you didn't know how to solve it. Or maybe you didn't have a sleepless night, but maybe you had this problem kind of just like this cloud over you. Whenever you go to sleep, it's there. Whenever you wake up, it's the first thing that you think about. How am I going to solve this problem? When you go to school, it's there. When you're doing your homework, it's there. When you come home, you're cooking, it's there. And that's kind of this anxiety. What am I going to do? How am I going to fix this problem? How am I going to find this? Or how am I going to find that? And I kind of was reading around about worry and what it looked like. And there was this one little paragraph that kind of talked about mothers. And I'm never going to feel this, but he kind of described, maybe some of you can relate to this. Mothers have special concerns. And maybe some of you are pregnant here. And so as they carry their child during pregnancy, they have concerns of birth itself and in the ongoing care of this fragile little blessing. They're concerned about the healthy growth and the proper friends and influence. They think about whom their children will marry, whether they, as mothers, can handle all these responsibilities. They become concerned about their own failures as a mother, whether they can give enough discipline and love, enough guidance or freedom, or appropriate reward and restriction. And so as mothers, you guys can see, you know, these are some of the worries that you're just maybe kept up 4 o'clock in the morning. Man, what's going to happen in the future? What are my kids going to turn out like? You're up in the morning. Well, man, what am I going to do with this test? And I'm so anxious. And it's just like this cloud over you. It's just this thing that's kind of grabbing at your heart. And it's like sucking the life out of you. It's making you exhausted. It's making you tired. And I think this is the kind of anxiety that Jesus is getting at here. Right, this is the kind of anxiety where you're just so tired at the end of the day because you're so exhausted about thinking about it. You're thinking so hard, what am I going to do? How am I going to figure out this problem? How am I going to get through this? This seems hopeless. It seems like there's no situation out of this. Maybe you feel powerless. But what does that mean for us, right? How does this play out? What is the root of this anxiety? And so the second thing that's what I want to look at, what is this anxiety that Jesus wants to get at? So if you look at this, right, let's keep reading on. Let's just read on. Verse 25, it says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, whether what you will eat, what you will drink, nor your body, what you will put on. And he says this. He says, is not life more than food? and the body more than clothing. Look at that. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And so Jesus, when he asks this question, is not a hard question. It's not a trick question. So he's basically saying, yes, life is more important than food. Life is more than just about your clothing. Right? But somehow, you know, we kind of made life about food, right? What's probably over half of our Instagrams all about, or our snaps? Our tapioca drinks and whatever we get at Chinatown, right? Right? It's all about that food, how good this food is. I ate lunch this week. This guy, like, the lunch special was you get a salad, you get a little appetizer, and you get a little entree. The friend I was eating with, when the salad came out, it was this tiny little bowl he had. He took a picture of it, right? And when the chicken bites come out, they're just chicken nuggets. He took up another picture of it. And then when the entree came out, it was pretty good. Waffles and chicken and waffles, right? He took another picture of it, right? That's kind of like how we act today, right? We're like, this looks good. I want to show other people what my food is, right? And so we kind of made, like, you know, but we kind of made life, like, about this food and whatnot. But the thing is, what Jesus is getting at here, he's saying that his audience, when he's talking to his audience, he's saying that his audience is short-sighted and have made their life about food and clothes. And he's saying, you're so short-sighted that food and clothing is what you're consumed with. They're the objects that they're consumed with. And here's the thing. Understandably so. Understandably so. They are free. It makes sense for them to be consumed with food. Because they don't have a fridge. So they don't have a lot of money. And so it's a legitimate concern. How am I going to get food? How am I going to feed my child? How am I going to take care of my family? But what Jesus is trying to get at here, he is trying to reveal their hearts to them. Jesus is revealing their hearts. And Jesus is saying, your problem is not your worrying. Your problem is not your anxiety. Jesus is telling them, I mean, you have to understand this. The problem is not that you are worrying. And the problem is not that you are anxious. But the thing is, he's saying and he's revealing to them that you're so short-sighted, you have replaced God. You have replaced God with money in your life. And that's what he's getting at, right? Because if you look at it right before this passage, if you look at right before verse 25, what does Jesus just finish talking about? In verse 24, he says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And so Jesus is revealing that anxiety is not your problem. But the root and the heart behind your anxiety is that you have made money your God. And so this idea is money is your God. And the one question I do want to ask you is, look, I just said they don't have bank accounts. I just said that his audience, they didn't have a lot of money. I just said that these people, you know, they don't have a lot of food and whatnot. And so the question is, how can they make wealth or money their God when they don't have any of it? So the question, the thing is, they're not making their bank accounts their idols, right? The question, the problem is, they're not making money their God. They're not making this idea of, if I have this money, it's my God. But rather, they believe if they were to have wealth. The problem with it is they believe if they have wealth, that if they had money, then my worries would go away. And so that's what Jesus is revealing to them, that if I had this money, then I don't have to worry a day-to-day existence. Then I don't have to go about and wondering, where am I going to get this food? And I don't have to worry about, how am I going to feed my children? How am I going to take care of my family? Because money is the problem. Money is the one that will solve my problems. And that's what Jesus was getting at. Money is not bad. Wealth is not bad. But we make it a God, right? Then we make it the point. We make it the goal. We make it our jobs of going, hey, I'm going to have this job and so I can make it my goal to get a lot of money so I can, or get more money so I can be secure. And I'm going to rely on that. And so that's what Jesus is getting at here. Wealth was the one that was going to take away their worries. So it is clear though, right? It is clear that you and I, we don't struggle the same way that Jesus' audience were struggling. that we're not in the slums. We're not in Nairobi in the slums, and we're living in little cubicles and whatnot. We don't struggle the way they do. If anything, we have a lot of it, and we have more than we need, right? Even as I was preparing this, I had a Starbucks cup right in front of me. And so we don't struggle the way that they're struggling with. But the thing is, the root of our problems, the root of our anxiety, is that our worries are trying to acquire more. That we're trying to acquire more to take away our problems. The anxiety in our lives is trying to provide or trying to achieve something, right? If anything, our anxiety is to make more than what God provides for us, right? And so here are some of the ways that kind of anxiety plays out, or you know, some of the goals in our life. And we try. So money really isn't the problem here, but rather, what are we going for if we receive money, right? It comes out in maybe five of these different ways, right? And this is some stuff that I was reading, and we saw this, right? We see this. Money is not the problem, but security is a problem, right? It's not necessarily having money, but it's the idea of, if we have money, then I'll have security, right? It's this idea of, if I have security, then my problems will be okay. Then I can step away and not really have any worries. If I have money and I'm secure, then I can pay for my house and I have money to pay my mortgage or whatnot. And this is kind of the security that we feel when we have more money. Or maybe we seek after, maybe we work in our jobs, maybe we work in our schools, and we work hard so that we can gain personal worth or personal value and esteem. So our jobs and how well we do at our jobs kind of controls how good we feel about ourselves. And maybe some of us, you know, if we were to gain more and we were to work more and work harder and we have more material possessions, then maybe we feel more like a more significant person. Or maybe if we have a bigger house and we feel more significant. And it's not wrong to have big houses. It's not wrong to have money, but it's this idea of, man, my personal worth and my value comes out of my performance. My personal worth and my value comes out of what I have. Or maybe another way that comes out from our work and putting too much value and significance in our work is power that we get from wealth. The power that we get from material success, right? Wealth gives us control over our own fate. Wealth gives us control over our own life. And so we want to run our life the way we want it to run. And so that's the way it kind of plays out. Or maybe this is very similar, but independence. Some of us may want, you know what, I don't want to be controlled. I want to run my life the way I want it to go. I want my life to be like this, so I will go and I will take control of my life. And that's why we work, and that's why we gain and try to achieve more. And you know, that's why we have goals of pursuing higher GPAs and higher ranking and whatnot, because I can control my future. If I have a higher one, then I can get into a certain college. Or maybe some of us, this plays out with pleasures. We can indulge in our wealth and we can make life comfortable, and whether it's just you know, vacations or whatnot. And that's kind of our goals from our wealth. And so these are some of our goals, and we go, you know what, we're worrying about, how do I get these goals? And we think money and our wealth will take away our worries. And so in the same way, we are similar, and we are like Jesus' audience. Wealth will take away our problems. Money, it will take away our problems. Money will give us what we're looking for. Wealth will give us what we're looking for. My job performance will give me what I'm looking for. My GPA and how well I do in school will give me what I'm looking for and what I'm searching for. It will take away my worries. If I had a higher GPA, it would take away whatever I was looking for. It alleviates our worries, right? If we have a secure job, then our future feels safe. right? If we had that higher GPA, then we'll be going, yeah, I can get into it, right? If we have a certain amount in the bank, then that car I've been wanting, I can finally get it. Maybe if we perform well at our jobs, then we'll feel accepted and our identity is built up in that job. But the thing is, we know that these things fall short. Maybe most of us have been trying to pursue some of these things and we've obtained some of these things and we know that they fall short. And we know that money can't provide what we need. We know that money can't alleviate our worries. And we know these things will fall short. It doesn't matter how good your resume is. It doesn't matter how high your GPA is. It doesn't matter how high your rank is. You're not promised to get into the college you want. Unless you're top 5% and you want to go to UT, then sure, right? You're promised to get into UT, but then even at the same point, you're not promised to get into the major that you want to get into. Everything else falls short. It can't promise you anything. So just as Jesus reveals to his listeners that God is not God in their life anymore, do you hear that Jesus is revealing to you that God, that the God in your heart, and that they're creating these anxieties within you, that you have a God in your heart that is creating these anxieties, is creating these worries, because they can't deliver what they're promising to you. And that's why we have these anxieties, because we put so much significance into these things. We put so much significance and value and worth into our work. And they can't deliver what we need. They can't deliver what we want. So what do we do with this anxiety? What do we do with our lives now, right? What do we do now that Jesus, hopefully he's revealed to you that, yeah, there is anxiety. Jesus goes, you have to see that you are valuable. And so let's read on in this passage. He kind of gives us two examples. He says in verse 26, look at it. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more valuable than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is alive, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So Jesus makes the statement. He goes, yes, you are more valuable than the birds. He goes, yes, the birds are being fed, and so you will too, because you are valuable. And so if you look at this, he doesn't just say, okay, you're more valuable, and it moves on. But he doesn't just stop there. If you look at it, he goes, yes, he will feed you. But he then goes on in verse 27. He goes, and which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And he's saying, look, your life is valuable. And the thing is, your whole life is valuable. If you look at this, what Jesus is saying is, look, God is sovereign over your whole life. God is sovereign over, even from when you were born to when you will die. God is sovereign over that. He is in every part of your life. He is in every part of how you become and how you grow up and what you have in your life and where you will go, where you will end up, and where you will go to college and where you will be after college, who you will marry or not marry or not. And so here's the thing, like God is sovereign over that. And he goes, look, he wants you to see that God will not leave you. Yeah, you're valuable, and that's actually the way that God loved you, but his proof is what? Look, he is there with you. In the little things and the big things, he is there. He will not leave you. He can't leave you. When you get laid off of work, he's there. In your rejection letters, when you get back from your school, he's there. When you get that F from your teacher, he's there. When you don't know, when you're up at 4:30 a.m. and I don't know how I'm going to fix this situation, he's there in the middle of that. 20 years down the line, he's there. 20, 50 years down the line, he's there. 20 minutes from now, he is there. And the biggest thing is when you made your GPA your security, He is even there. He won't leave you. You know, there are some things that God can't do, and one of those things is that He can't leave you. One of the things that God can't do is He will not and He cannot leave you. Right? And I heard this week, and it was in a random video that I saw, but it was very applicable. He goes, this guy in his little poem, he goes, "Consider the birds that eat from my hands." And he's talking, using the words of Jesus. He goes, "Consider the birds that eat from my hands and do not fall from the sky without my consent. So how much more will I love the ones that I died for?" So the question is, why can't God leave you? Well, the thing is, our value is found in who Jesus is. Our value is found in identifying with Christ. Because the beautiful thing about the gospel is that because everything about us calls for God's turning His back against us. Everything about us, right? Everything about us calls for God's rejection of us. And John talks about how we are considered to be the children of the devil, right? You are of your father, the devil. So everything about us deserves punishment, deserves rejection. But the beauty of the gospel says not only does on the cross where Jesus takes our sin and our sins are imputed onto Him, not only does Jesus kind of takes our sin and He takes our punishment, He takes our wrath and everything that we deserve, the beauty of the gospel is that there was an exchange. And we've talked about it before. That we were imputed with the righteousness of Christ. But on the cross, that He takes our sin, but also we get His perfect life. Because on the cross, He takes our sin, but we are imputed with His righteousness. We are imputed with His sonship. So Christ's perfect life and righteousness is now transferred onto us. And so now we get the acceptance of God because we have Christ's acceptance. So now the relationship that Christ had with God is now our relationship with God. And now the sonship that Christ had with God is our sonship with God. And now we are children of God. And it is important for you to see that, because if you look in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus uses the word Father, Heavenly Father, at least 10 times. And that's what you have to get here. That you are a son and daughter of God right now. And that is your value, not because of what you have done, but what Christ has given to you on the cross. This is because of the beauty of the gospel is that you didn't deserve to be a son of God. And if anything, you were considered a son and daughter of the devil. But because of His sacrifice, because of Jesus' sacrifice, your disobedience was placed onto Christ, and His sonship was given to us. And that is our value. That is why God cannot leave us. That is why God cannot forsake you. That's why God cannot just throw you away. You as parents will know, no matter how bad your disobedient your son or daughter is, you're not going to kick them out, and you're not going to you're not going to say, "You're not my son and daughter anymore." And maybe I've seen that happen, but this is God we're talking about. They're our Heavenly Father. So He cannot leave you. He cannot forsake you. He has to be faithful to you because Christ is in you. You have to feel secure. Your anxiety goes away because we are sons and daughters and He will not leave us. Because if you look at it, right? If you look at it in Matthew chapter, if you keep going and what He says here in verse, if you look in verse 30, it says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your Heavenly Father," that's big, "your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all." We need to see that because of our value, and because of our worth found in the exchange of the cross, we know that God will act. Jesus says and calls out to his listeners that they have a deficiency of faith rather than an absence of faith. Right? And so he's saying that you're acting like Gentiles. You're acting like God is not God in your life. So that you have to see that you are already valuable. So because if we do not see that you're valuable, if you do not see that you're valuable in the eyes of God, if you do not see that you are a child of God, then you will pursue value from others. You will pursue value from your coworkers. You will pursue value and worth from whatever you have inside your bank. You will pursue value from your parents or from your coworkers or from your teachers. If you do not see that you are already accepted, you will pursue acceptance from your parents. You will pursue acceptance from friendships. If you do not see that you are already accepted, then that's where you're going to go elsewhere. If you don't see that we are already secure in His love, we are secure in this sonship and daughtership, I guess. If we're secure in this, we're secure in His love, then we're going to go elsewhere for security. Believe. So if we believe these things, if we believe that He does not see us as sons and daughters, then we're just going to go elsewhere. And that's what Jesus was getting at. And that's why we made them our gods and idols. And so we have to see that God will provide. We have to see that God is there. And we have to see that God is good. And you know, this week we were in our small group. We kind of discussed this idea of, and if you're going through the Book of Sacrificial, you're going to come to this an idea of eating. But we came up this question came up, why do we pray for blessings on our food? Right? We go, why do we go? Oh God, please bless the food and please bless the hands that made this. It didn't make any sense because in the book it will tell us, hey, you know what? This food, you know, we should thank God for providing it. And it's funny, yeah, why do we go bless this food, bless this meal to our stomachs and whatnot? But if anything, we should see the meal in front of us. It should point us to the idea that God is good. That whenever we have a meal together, so in 20 minutes from now, when we get our food and when we sit down, this should point to us, God has provided. It should point to us, God is good to us. It should point to us, God's been faithful to us all along. It should point to us to His faithfulness and how He provides every day, even if it is a little meal. It should point to us how good He is. It should point to how we are sons and daughters, that He will care for us. And so let's not pray and ask for blessings for this meal, but rather let's see these meals as God's faithfulness. Let's see our meals as God's goodness to us. Let's see our meals as God will provide, and He has provided, and He will provide. And so we praise Him and we bless Him. And God knows what you need, and God will not forsake you in that. So Jesus is trying to reveal their hearts, His audience. Where are you going to remove that anxiety? Where are you going to remove this worry about where food's going to come from? But for us, where are we going to go to find our value? Where are we going to go to find our significance? Where are we going to go to find security for our future? Where are we going to go to find whatever we've been looking for? Because we know it's not the job. And we know it's not what the job provides. But rather, Jesus goes, find it in Me. Find security in Me. So if we see that Jesus has revealed our hearts, and there's this anxiety, there's this pursuit of this world, pursuit of wealth, pursuit of security, pursuit of value. We see that we need to see our value in Christ. So what do we do after that? And Jesus wants them to reorient their lives around His kingdom. And so the last thing I want us to look at, and we'll end with this, chapter 6, verse 33. He says, well, if you look at it, Father knows what you need, and He will give them all to you. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for its day is trouble. So the last thing I want you guys to see and walk away with is to reorient your lives around the kingdom of God. And what you have to see here and what Jesus is trying to make clear here is that you can't have both, right? And before this passage, he's already said you can't have both money and God. You can't serve both money and God. And so in the same way, he says you can't seek God's kingdom and seek to fulfill whatever desires that you have. You can't seek the kingdom and be anxious. You can't seek the kingdom and have your worries. You can't seek the kingdom and have this anxiety inside of you. You can't choose to seek security in your own efforts, but also seek security in God's kingdom. It's one or the other. Because he doesn't say first seek first the kingdom of God and then seek first to whatever you're looking for, and then seek second whatever you're looking for. But Jesus is saying, be consumed with the idea of God's kingdom. Be consumed with the idea of making disciples. Be consumed with the idea of getting His name out. Be consumed with this, and He will take away. God will be faithful to take away and take care of the rest of the things in our life. So He's asking you this, will you provide for yourself, or will you let God? Because it's one or the other. Because He says this, and if you look at it, right, in verse 34, there's going to be stuff to worry about today. There's going to be stuff you're going to be worried about tomorrow. And there's going to be worries about the day after. So He's saying, look, if you take care of your worries for today, and you kind of solved your problem, something else is going to come up. If you take care of that, something else is going to come up. And so you're going to be consumed with this problem, and then you're going to be consumed with this problem, and then you're going to be consumed with this, and you're going to be so consumed with your life that you cannot seek and be consumed with the kingdom of God. So He's saying it's one or the other. You cannot certainly, it's the same thing, serve God or serve money. Seek the kingdom of God or seek to be consumed with the worries. Seek to be consumed with your anxieties. So we have to see our value. Because if we do not see our value in Christ, if we do not see the value that we are given from the gospel, we will never be consumed with the idea and seek the kingdom of God. Because we'll be so worried about ourselves, we're not going to be worried about loving people. We're going to be worried about loving ourselves, we're not going to be worried about loving people. We're not going to be so worried about making ourselves better, we're not going to be living for the benefit of others. It's one or the other. You can't do both. And so that's what Jesus is trying to get at. It's not you get to choose, but He's trying to say, look, you if you're living for one, you're not living for the other. So my plea to you today is find your value in Christ. Find your value and knowing that you are a son and daughter of God. Find your value in knowing that you are accepted, not because of what you've done, not because of how good you are, but because of Christ and how He, on the cross, gave Himself and gave His perfect righteousness to you. And His righteousness is imputed into us. So when God sees us, He doesn't see you, but He sees Christ. When God sees us, He doesn't call us sinners and children of the devil, but He goes and calls you, you're my son, you're my daughter, and I will love you, and I will not forsake you, and I will not leave you, and I can't leave you, and I will take care of everything that you need, because you are my son, you are my daughter. Know that God will not forsake you, because He is our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. God, forgive us of our sins. Because we've tried to make it on our own. We've tried to find value that is outside of you. We've tried to find worth that is outside of you. We've tried to find security that is outside of you. And we work so hard trying to gain these things. And we've forsaken you as our Father. And we've forsaken the cross and not seeing the value that we've gained from the cross. So I pray that you would reveal to us our hearts and how much we run away from you. And how far we've run away from you. May we know that you are with us. May we know that you are faithful to us. May we know that you will not forsake us and you cannot forsake us. And may we know that you will provide all that we need. Because you are our loving Heavenly Father. In your name we pray.
Thanks, Dan. I remember there was a time where I was not working and we were paying bills, and it was just really tough, you know. Alicia would be asking, oh, you know, can we pay this bill? And I'd be like looking at our bank account and we could be getting lower and lower and lower. And there were times where I'd be like, oh, we can't pay that right now, just wait, you know, until the end of the month. And then, it's a little bit of a stressful time, you know. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Pursuit of Happiness, right? But there's a scene where the father is, you know, they're really talking about living paycheck to paycheck. He's like, they have to go stay in the shelter every night, and like there's just one night where they didn't make it to the shelter, so they have to like spend the night in like a public restroom, and like the dad's, and someone's trying to get into the restroom, and he's like trying to keep someone out, and it's just, you know, crying. And I remember watching that, and I was feeling like, oh man, you know, we're not quite at that point, but just seeing, there is that stress sometimes, especially, you know, with the economy the way it is right now, so maybe we have families here. But I remember